Exodus chapter 10, and we're going to read verse 1 through 3. And so I'm going to ask some guys to help me out with this, if you would. And James, would you want to read chapter 10 of Exodus, verse 1 through 3, please? All right, so our text tonight is verse 3, and the question was asked by Moses to Pharaoh, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself? So I want to, we're dealing with subjects for men, and tonight I want to deal with pride. And this is, you know, it's known to all people. Why? Because people are proud. It's in the heart. And it's a good reminder for us to regularly consider what pride is and what pride does and the destruction of pride in our lives. So Egypt was about to be visited with the eighth plague locust. And here in the first family of the Egyptians, the Pharaoh family, they confronted us. They were confronted with the truth. Instead of humbling themselves before God, they wound up rejecting the truth, rejecting God's man, Moses, and continue to face the judgment of God. Now, the problem was his pride. And this would cause what took place for Pharaoh. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12 and James to read verse 29 and 30, please. All right, so what we find here is the firstborn die in all of Egypt. And that was the problem. Why? All because of Pharaoh's sin and his sin of refusing to humble himself. Now, this is an issue. And again, it's in our hearts. Mark chapter 7 says that we have pride in our heart. And so this is a problem. And this was all over pride. Now, pride is an over-exaltation of oneself. People think they're more important than what they are. And it's an excessive self-concern. Pride is arrogance. And it's a sense of inflation, building oneself up. It's being haughty. And so this is what God tells us in his word. God gives us the opposite. So we see what pride is. We'll talk more about this. But God says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So we want to learn to humble ourselves before God. We want to be humble people. And you say, well, you know, my job caused me to be really important. Whatever the thing may be. But, you know, we need to consider what is man. So we got to consider ourselves and thinking that, you know, we're considering ourselves to be more important than what we are. And God tells us in his word we think soberly about ourselves, not think ourselves above more than we are able. So the idea of self-exaltation and selfish, all these different things that apply to self is wrong. And we're not to be that way. So pride is regarding oneself as so important that they don't have to obey God and really humble themselves. Pride is the root of all sin. So it was a devil sin of pride. He said, I'm going to exalt myself above the throne of God. And so God hates it. He opposes pride. And it works against the proud. Pride is a being self-consumed, and it's a self-preoccupation. It's being focusing on self, and it's interprets life in its own interest. It's self-centered. And may I say this, and we see this a lot with men, and people can be proud of the foolish things and so on, but it's so important as a young man, and I know we have a couple of young men here, that you learn to humble yourself before God, just like older men, just like all men. We need to be humble before God, and you don't want to have to have God humble you. So there's a story in the Bible of a king named Nebuchadnezzar, a great king, and he had, you know, ruled the world pretty much, and yet God, and he became like a wild beast, and he the field is out of his mind. And he was a crazy king for a while. Now, the rest of the kingdom associates and so on, they really ruled the kingdom. He didn't. Because he was outside eating grass like a wild beast. And you say, well, that would never happen to me. Hey, let me tell you, God has a way of humbling us. And so there's no right, we have no right to be self-important, to exalt ourselves. We're to walk humbly with God. So the Bible tells us that pride considers oneself so important that they stay in their own mind all day long. That, and you say, well, what else would they be thinking about? Well, not to be thinking about themselves. We're to esteem others than ourselves. Pride is vain. It's debilitating. Pride is selfishness. It's insecure. That's really the key to pride. When people are acting proud, they're really insecure people. You know, they haven't accepted themselves for what they are. Pride can be easily hurt or offended. Self-concept is easily threatened and must be defended. So again, the issue of pride that we have in our lives or can have in our lives is, the whole result of being insecure. And there's all sorts of reasons why people are insecure. They're not secure in themselves. You say, well, you know, I want to be the best I can be and so on. That's fine. There's a difference trying to be the best you can be and pride. And pride is wrong. It's a overinflation of oneself. So pride is not receptive to criticism. It's very defensive. Strives to save face. It refuses to believe what it was said. Even if they're proven wrong, they have a hard time accepting the truth. And this pride is not teachable. Pride justifies its actions of those who question. Pride is right and finds fault with those who confront them. So I want to say this. You know, if you're a young man and your parents ask you a question or confront you, you've got to be humble, to be open and honest. You've got to be transparent. You shouldn't get angry or defensive right away. And that goes for everyone, anyone. Why would you be defensive? You say, what if someone finds something wrong with me? Oh, and who's blameless? Who's without sin? Right? All can be found. There's lots of things in my life you can find fault with me. You probably do. But, you know, I'm not going to, unless it's false, I'm not going to try to cover up. I'm not going to defend myself. You know, we all have that ability to have fault found out in us. So pride will rely on many different defensive mechanisms to avoid accepting personal responsibility. They play the blame game. They'll, you know, point to others. Pride finds it difficult to fail. They find it hard to say, I'm sorry. Please. And, you know, that's really basic in life. You know, you have little kids, when they do something wrong, they're corrected, they should say, I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry, Mom. I shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't be defensive. They shouldn't not admit to that. You know, Why? We've got to learn to be humble. We've got to walk humbly with God. So pride controls us. It actually blinds ourselves to ourselves. It filters everything you see and hear and think and learn. Pride causes one to have their thinking clouded. Why would it be clouded? Because they view themselves quite differently than what reality is. So, you know, it's not hard to figure out whether someone's being proud or not. You know, I'm not saying I'm all discernment, but, you know, I can figure out pretty quick whether someone's being, they have exaltation about themselves than what they should. And we're to walk humbly. We're to be what God wants us to be. We're to be like Jesus Christ. And how was Christ? He was humble. He was transparent. What you see is what you get. And, of course, the Son of God was perfect. He was without sin. And we're not, but we should be open and receptive to things in our life. Now, pride is a defense that thinks that any reference to it, any description, is never considered personally. In other words, they'll deflect what's being said. They'll put it off on someone else. As I said before, they'll play the blame game. So notice in 3 John, let's turn there, 3 John. And pride loves to be honored. In 3 John verse 9, the Bible says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth not. That was a problem. He didn't want to receive them. So think about the arrogance of this man, Diotrephes. Now, he was a church member, but he must have had a real sway over the congregation. So he wouldn't even receive the Apostle John. Now, think about what John did. He not only was an apostle, he was a disciple of Christ. He was mentioned throughout the scriptures about being the one that Jesus loved. He was so close to John. John wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. He also wrote the book of the Revelation. And Diotrephes decided, I don't want to receive him. We're not going to receive the Apostle John. How arrogant. And what an arrogant man. And then over to Matthew chapter 20. Let's turn there, please. Matthew chapter 20. And notice Matthew 20 and verse 26 and 27. But it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be one of your ministers. And whoso will be chief among you, let him be your servant. So we find here where Jesus said, you know, if you're going to be great, then learn to serve. In Matthew 23, let's turn there. And notice verse 11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. So pride loves reputation. And I found this with people, you know, talking about people who are married or, you know, usually that's a problem. They're married and they're very arrogant. And so, you know, they get found out in something. And right away they want to know, who knows? Well, that should not be what you're concerned about, is who knows, but rather, you know, what can I do to make restitution? How can I, you know, confess this before God? What do I need to do? These type of things, and not be who knows. I've seen it time and time again, not many times, but I've seen it in the ministry, where people are concerned about who knows rather than my sin before God. And so that's what pride does. Pride's concerned about who knows rather than my sin before God. And so pride loves titles, official recognition. Pride loves attention, exalted positions. In James chapter 4, verse 16, let's turn there. James chapter 16. And James, would you read that for us, please? So what were they doing? They were rejoicing and they're boasting. So I want to say this, you know, is it nice to have something new? Is it nice a new house, a new car? You know, whatever, a new suit? Sure. But to go around boasting about it, it's wrong. It's not right. We're not to boast about things. I say this in all sincerity. You know, we could show thanksgiving. Praise the Lord, you know, God gave me this car, God gave me the house, God gave me a new suit, God, whatever the thing is. You know, the Lord, we should boast in Christ. And that's what the Bible teaches. Why? Because God is real. There's a real God. And he's a God that's in heaven. He's a God that's involved with all our lives. He's a God that is just. He loves us. He cares for us. But he's going to take care of us. But the thing is this, is that, you know, we have to understand that God is not aloof. He's not separate. He's not, you know, in another world in one sense. But he's real. He knows our very thoughts. So it speaks about, you know, God being omniscient. God knows everything. He's the all-knowing God. And you say, well, I don't know what God knows about me. He knows everything about you. There's nothing that escapes the all-seeing eye of God. So pride seeks to appear credible. Pride seeks to appear spiritual. Pride seeks to appear godly. But we see that, you know, it's not just an appearance. You've got to be these things. Be godly. You want to be a Christ-like man. You want to be a spiritual man. And again, our actions prove exactly what we are. You know, you can't fake it with God. Now, pride is a name dropper. Pride seeks to impress. Pride can seek to draw attention to self. You know, I tell you, I've been around many proud people, and somehow, somewhere, they always want to turn the thing around, both male and female, and they want to be the hero of a story. It's amazing to me how people go out of their way to make them more important than they are. I told someone just maybe a month ago, I said, let me tell you something. I said, you know, you're important to me, you're important to our church, but let me tell you, you die tomorrow, I mean, in a couple of years, people aren't going to miss you. You're not that important. You think you are, but you're not. So we've got to have a realistic view of what man is, who we are. And I'm not saying you're not important. Everyone's important. Why? Because God loves you. That makes you important. God cares for you. But to think that, you know, everything rises and falls on you, I mean, that's such an exaltation of self. It's mind-boggling, right? Well, thank you, brother. If you don't like it, amen. So John chapter 12, the Bible says, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. So pride glorifies sin. It glories in the past sense. Now, this is really amazing to me. I'm thinking about a man who's no longer with us, and he used to tell us, you know, tell me once in a while, where he started talking about his past. And, you know, he claimed to be saved, and he wasn't, but he claimed to be saved. But, you know, you don't glory in your sinful past, and he used to. Or he tried with me, I wouldn't put up with it. I said, what are you talking about your flesh for? What are you talking about your, you know, what you are, what you did? I said, to be honest with you, you must think that was really important. You know, fleshly living. Now, I'm ashamed of my past. I'll be honest with you, I'm out and out ashamed. I don't glory in those things. You know, I'm thankful it's all in the blood. I'm thankful that God has forgiven me for all my sins. So notice 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's turn there. And James, read that verse 2. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 2. All right, so Paul was correcting the church at Corinth, and he says that ye are puffed up. What does that mean? They were proud. They thought it was great. Well, instead of mourning over what had been done, they were kind of, you know, pleased with it, rejoicing. They were puffed up. They were being proud. And, you know, sin in any situation, sin in any situation should cause a church to grieve. Remember, I mentioned this maybe a week or so ago about that Israel had sinned. You know, when God was correcting Achan, that Israel had sinned. He said to the whole congregation, well, here we find in Corinthians where he's saying, and ye are puffed up, you're proud. It's like they were very pleased that we're liberal-minded. It's a shame. They weren't thinking right. So pride takes failure, mistakes, and losing really hard. You ever see, I was that way when I was a young man. We lost a game. I mean, stupid game. Think about this. Putting it in perspective. It's a stupid game of football, basketball, baseball, and we lost. I was quiet. I didn't tell. But why? Because we lost. And, you know, why was it hard for me to receive that? Because we like to be right. We like to win. And I'm not saying anything wrong about winning, but to, you know, be depressed over that is a wrong frame of mind. It's not thinking right. Pride takes credit for everything except mistakes or sins. Right? And I remember there was a man one time that used to come to our church, and he would take credit for everything except for when he sinned against his wife and his children and so on. He wouldn't take credit for that at all. It was, you know, their fault, not his. And so this is what happens when a man is proud. Pride always has a sense of self-importance, which causes themselves to expect special treatment. I've seen that many times. People are being treated specially. Why? Because they think more highly of themselves than they should. They have a self-exaltation about them. And so they're looking for special treatment. Pride is intolerant over anyone or anything that thwarts their will. They don't want to have their will thwarted. They want to go on and have their will. But it may not be good for the family. It may not be good for them. It may not be good for the church. So pride is the root of resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness. And most times anger. So this is the root of pride. Pride is demanding and pushing their way of the highway. And, you know, you want to, as a parent, you want to root it out of the young men and young women in your life. You know, correct them, show them, look, this is not the way you want to go. This is not what you should be thinking. You should be thinking what's best for the whole family. And that's that would be a godly thought. Pride sees what they're doing is the most important. And really, you know, when you think about life, you know, it may not be the most important. But they think it is, but it may not be. And so, again, a reality check is so important. Pride boasts of knowledge. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, lots of times the pride that boasts of knowledge, and, well, God said they become fools. You know, notice 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And the Bible tells us here. Let me see, I think it's verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things, the world, to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised, that not God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, and that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made us made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification, redemption, that according as is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So the Bible says a little bit earlier in verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So Paul goes on and is telling us about, you know, the world seeks after wisdom. And, you know, the wisdom of the world is foolishness before Christ. It amounts to nothing. And I know there's a lot of educated people, and there are people who seem to know a lot of information, but that doesn't mean that they're wise. You know, someone was telling me just recently that their husband is, not none of you guys, that their husband is an intellectual. He based everything on science, which is not true, but he says he does. And now their son also is based everything on science, but it's not true. They don't base it on science. And as a result, they you know, just dismiss the gospel of Christ. It can't do anything. Why? Because they've been exposed to a false religion. And the religion at the Church of England, where they were exposed, and that was dead. It's not real to their lives. But I said, if they come to a gospel-preaching church, the power of God rests here. And we thank the Lord for that. We invite God. We want God to be present in our services. And but, you know, they just dismiss it. Well, they dismiss the truth. They dismiss God's word. They dismiss the power of God, the life-changing power in our lives. They dismiss it. And they say they're so wise, and God says they're fools. They're fools. I want to say this as nice as I can. They're educated idiots. That's what they are. They profess themselves to be so wise, and the Bible says they're fools. So, and I'm not against education. I'm all for it. It's good. I'm thankful that, you know, many of our men here went on to college and got a degree and are very proficient in what they do. But that type of education will, you know, damn a soul. You think that I'm wiser than God. I know better than what God does. So pride doesn't interact well. It wants to speak and not listen. It wants to pontificate and not give ear to those who are speaking. You see, pride gives a person a sense that I'm important, but they're not. I'm important, but they're not important. It doesn't matter what they say. It's important what I say. And that's wrong. Again, pride is unteachable. In Proverbs 3, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So we're not to think more highly again of ourselves. In Proverbs 26, verse 12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceits? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. So pride really comes down to being a know-it-all. And listen to this. People can be so proud, even they don't know something, they're going to speak on it. I'll never forget this. When my son John was alive, John was in pretty good shape, you know. Physically, I think he would be more towards an athlete. I wasn't saying he was an athlete, but he leaned more toward being athletic than he was, you know, being out of shape. I remember this heavyset man who came to our church was telling John how to diet. When John told me this, I was stunned. I said, why would he tell you anything? And he went on to say it's not good to diet. And he wasn't saying that it's not good to lose. He wasn't saying that it's not good to diet, but he was saying it's not good to lose weight. Now, John was built, I guess, like Marcus would be built, and Tig, and, you know, maybe not as thin as Craig, but he had a good build about him. And But to tell a man like that, I said, this guy's out of his mind. Why in the world you do that? You know, and there have been women like that in our church. They usually pass through, and that's fine. But to be so arrogant, to think that, you know, their body is perfect, I'm thinking, how could you say that? You know, they're roly-polies, daddy little fatty, amen? I mean, so pride is more interest in speaking than listening. Pride is stubborn, inflexible. It hinders growth. That's what's important about, so important about, you know, not being humble. When you're growing as a young man, as you, you know, in the 20s, your 30s, you want to listen. You know, the Bible tells that in the book of James, to learn to listen. So pride is worshiping self. In Psalm 10, verse 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, shall not seek after God. Why? God's not in all his thoughts. And that's frightening to me. Knowing the Bible as I do, know what the Word of God says, when a man is so proud that God didn't even enter his thoughts, it's frightening. You say, well, I'm not saved, preacher. Right. I get it, but God's not even speaking to you? That's a frightening thought. You know, we can be so arrogant, and God's not going to speak to our hearts. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 13, you plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. So here was a man that Hosea was speaking of, and he said, you've sowed wickedness, you're reaping iniquity. He said, you're believing the fruit of lies, you're trusting in mighty men, and thou trusting in thy way. Well, let me tell you something, friend. You it's so wrong to not trust what God says. The Bible, one of the great verses in the Bible is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. With all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, all thy ways, and not acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. To be so arrogant, to be so proud that you don't need God, I not only fear for you, I'm troubled over that condition. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So if you're thinking, oh, I'm going to take my stand, I'm going to be all right, I'm going to be, you know, good for me, this is great, you know, you better be careful. Why? The Bible says pride, was chapter 16, verse 18 say? It was you looking for someone's mouth to move. Yeah, pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Thank you. So, you know, you think you got it all together. You think, I got this. You're heading for a fall. And the Bible promised that. And the thing is, you don't want to fall. You want to be humble. You want to look to God. You want to trust the Lord. You want to do God's will for your life, not your own will. What time do you have, Rob or James? Okay. So pride is full of self-confidence. One thinks within themselves they can do anything. Now, I want to say this. You say, oh, preacher, you're squelching young people. But let me ask you, Mark, can you play center for the, I was going to say Knicks, you probably could, but could you play center for the Lakers? No, you're limited. You're not 7 foot something. So, you know, we can't do anything, right? Keith, can you run a marathon? All right. First 100 feet I got, right? But, you know, you say, well, if I train, but honestly, you're probably beyond those years. So the idea, can I do anything? That's not true. We're limited to our ability. And so the idea that I can do anything, could you hit a baseball out of the park? Could you win the World Series this year as a pitcher, as a player, as an outfielder, second baseman, third? No. Can you play on the softball team? Yes. Bernie would debate some of that, right? Whether you can play. But anyway, we can do that, but to think that, I can do anything, that's you're misguided. You're not thinking of yourself soberly. Pride lives for self, not for the Lord. They don't seek God's will, but their own. They think that they are self-sufficient. The proud believes that they deserve from others. They deserve a trouble-free life from God. Pride is therefore unappreciative, and it causes ingratitude in one's heart. Pride does not realize their debt before God. Pride seeks to control others, not only for feeling this power, but also for selfishness. And they think they control, but they don't. Let me say this to you. I say this all sincerity. We may think everything's going great, but God can change it just in a flash, in just a snap of the finger. All you need is a good car accident. Or you need to go to the hospital. All of a sudden you come down with a disease. Now it's been there coming on for years, but you come down with it. And now you're whatever the thing is. So you don't want to be so arrogant to think I can do this, I'm above this, I'm going to be okay. You don't know. Nebuchadnezzar had no idea that God was going to do that to him, to help him, what? For the purpose of being saved. And if he was going to go on the way he was, he would never have been saved. But after him going out of his mind for a little bit, for a season, he was far more open to receiving the gospel, which he did. So the proud thinks that they're self-sufficient. Pride is therefore a spirit of ingratitude. Pride seeks to have its own way. Pride is condescending. It's arrogant. It sees many people that not worthy of the time or the effort or what they think. Pride does not pray. And let me just tell you this, gentlemen. You say, well, I'm not saved, preacher, so how can I pray? I would be praying that God, would you please speak to me that I may understand the gospel and I'll come to Christ. That's what I do. That would be one of my prayers. And I'll tell you, God will answer that prayer. Pride sees people who are not worthy of anything. Pride doesn't confess their sin. Pride professes that they are saved by grace, yet they live for themselves and the self-proclaimed goodness. So the Bible says in Proverbs 21:24, proud and haughty, scorner is his name, who deal in proud who dealeth in proud wrath. James chapter 5, verse 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth behind the door. In Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not, lest you be judged. So these are issues that men have. And the idea that judging, you're going to be judged. You can find fault with a lot of people who say they're saved and so on. That's fine. But here's what you should do, is you look at yourself. That's the first thing. Look at yourself. What are you doing? Do you even know God? Do you live for God? How's your devotion life? Are you walking with God? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking humbly with God? I mean, this is what the Bible tells us. So pride is deceitful. It's devilish. And it's destructive. Let's look at the two verses. We'll close. Matthew 16, verse 24. James, will you read that for us, please? Matthew 16 and verse 24. All right, and then chapter 8 of Romans, verse 13. But yet, for if he liveth after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. And that's what God wants. He wants us to humble ourselves. He wants us to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Why? That you live. If not, you know, it's just guaranteed there's going to be a fall. And the thing you don't want to have is a great fall to the place that you're destroyed forevermore. All right? I trust that was a help and a challenge, and that's what I wanted to be. And we'll take 15 minutes, and then we'll start our evening service, all right?